It gives you the list of all the 24 Sifrei HaTanach, Machlokes HaTanaim, Vamaraim, whether they're 24, like three Sfarim. When they found all the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found everything except for Megillas Esther, so they weren't sure whether someone had borrowed it, they never gave it back, or they followed the opinion that Megillas Esther is not part of the Kisvei HaKodesh, there are only 23 Sfarim. We pass on the 24, Megillas Esther is part of the Tanakh. So the Gemara there has a list of all of the Tanakh and who wrote every Sefer. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Kosov, Sif, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Hamishul Chamshim Torah. And the question is, what about the description of the obituary? The last chapter in the Chumash describes the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was written by Yeshua ben Nun. Because the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua says that Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. So that's the question, is that referring to the fact that Yeshua ben Nun wrote the last parsha in the Chumash? The question when says Shmoni Psukim Shabbatar means only the last 10 Psukim beginning with the word Vayamu Shemoshe goes the whole last chapter that describes Kodesh Baruch Hu telling to go up to Har Havarim and he dies. Maybe the whole chapter. So one opinion, Machlokes HaTanaim, one opinion that everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The other opinion, no, that the last chapter was written by Yeshua ben Nun. We assume, that's a historical machlokes, we assume it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara has a din, Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, it's a separate din in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Yochid Kori Yosem has a different din. Kol HaTorah Kula, there is no such din, only the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah. What do words mean? Yochid Kori Yosem. So the Rambam has a wild Shabbat. Yochid Kori Yosem is referring to the din in the Mishnah and Megillah. Mishnah and Megillah lists off all the things that require a minyan. So it says, if you want to have duchening, you need a minyan. You want to bench mezumen, varech alakeinu, you have to have a minyan of 10 people. Then it has a whole bunch of things that you need a minyan. They say, Kaddish Kedusha, in Kriyas HaTorah, you need a minyan, because that's a Dovish HaBikdusha. Dovish HaBikdusha needs a minyan that's based on a pasuk in Chumash. B'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisroel. Toch has the connotation of Asora. The first mission is ahead and shows how you come to that, how you arrive at that conclusion. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his tshuva that din of Dovish HaBikdusha needs a minyan, that's only a din with the Rabbanim. He thinks that in HaTorah there is no such din. There is a din in HaTorah of Yehorig Val Yabar, sometimes only b'fnei Asora. Let's say a guy holds a gun to my head and he says, you eat the chazer, I'm going to shoot you. You be Michal Shabbos, you turn on the lights or I'm going to shoot you. So if it's b'fra Hesia, if it's b'fnei Asora me'Yisrael, then the din is that Yehorig Val Yabar. If it's b'tzina, then the din is that Pikoch Nefesh is Dech HaShabbos and Dech HaKashvas. By Gimel Averis Achamuris, by Avedizor, Gelavash Vechazdamim, the din is Yehorig Val Yabar, even b'tzina. If it's Shalev B'shas HaShmah. But B'shar Averis, you only say Yehorig Val Yabar if it's either b'fra Hesia, or if it's B'shas HaShmah, even b'tzina, also say Yehorig Val Yabar. When you recite Kriya Shema every day, you say, V'hafta Hashem Malkacha B'chol Napshecha, supposed to have a mind, Apinu Noita Lestam Shecha, it means under these conditions. Sometimes we declare that life is not worth living if that's the way you have to live your life. You have to live your life by worshipping Avodah Zarah, by being Lachal Shabbos B'fayeset, then Mekechil Hashem B'rabim Denna. So Moshe thinks that the din of B'nikdash to B'soch B'nei Yisrael and the din of an HaTorah that only refers to Yehorig Val Yavar. That they only say Yehorig Val Yavar to be Mechal Shabbos and to eat treifas if it's B'fahes M'pnei Asorah Me'Yisrael. And there there wouldn't be a shaila. Let's say you have 9 people on Bar Mitzvah and the 10th one is a Kotna. You wouldn't say you can make Mitzvah one Kotna to the minute. It's a real din there. I say it's only 9 Gedolim. There is one opinion in the Rishonim. Let's say you want to have Kriyas HaTorah, and you don't have 10 men, you have 9 men and 1 woman. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Tosfos and Brachos that one cotton. I remember when I was a little boy, sometimes there would be mitzvah me to the minyan. Years ago, there was a common practice in Europe. It was a common practice a lot of times. You have 9 gedolim and 1 cotton, so you can be mitzvah the cotton to the minyan. In Boston. Years ago, in Rabbi Soloveitchik's shul, also once in a while they had to be mitzarif for kotnim because the Jewish community, they built the yeshiva in the location where the Jewish community didn't live there yet. So every so often there was no minyan, so there'd be 9 adults and 1 kotnim. So some have the practice, the only mitzarif the kotnim to the minyan if he holds on to a chumash. So they used to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, should we tell a kid to hold on to a chumash? He obviously said, Tell him to hold on to a siddur. No, he's davening. Tell him to hold on to a siddur, not to hold on to a chumash. That's based on that idea of holding on to a chumash, based on the Tosfos. Tosfos there in Brachos quotes the Pirkei of the Rav Lezer, that sometimes you need 10 people, so if a katan is holding on to a Sefer Torah, then you can name a tzara. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, there was such a practice that if you have 9 gedolim and 1 katan, you can name a tzara from to a minyan. So there was an opinion. That's all that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't quote if you have 9 men and 1 woman. They don't quote that. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that there was such an opinion in the Mordechai. In the days of the Balei HaTos, there was such an opinion. It didn't even make it to the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't even have honorary mention. And to reject it, they didn't even quote that. So Moshe Feinstein says, all of these discussions, if you have 9 gedolim and 1 katan, or 9 men and 1 woman, that's only by Dovashi B'Kedusha, because the whole need for a minyan is only by the Rabbanu. But if you heard by Yavar, no one's going to say that 9 gedolim and 1 katan. No one's going to say 9 men and 1 woman. They really need Asara gedolim. So that's a Mishnah in Megillah, that when you want to recite the Dovashi B'Kedusha, you need Asara. Shining point out, for duchening you need 10 people. Pashtun says a duchening is not a davish of kedusha. We're not sure exactly how to define a davish of kedusha. Soloveitchik worked hard on it. He wasn't so sure what the definition is. But the Pashtun says when you bench and you say Baruch Alakenu Shachan Mishaloi, that's not a davish of kedusha. The Gemara gives a different explanation why you need asara. Well, let's say when you duchen you need asara, that's not a davish of kedusha either. The Gemara gives davish of kedusha needs a minyan that's. That's Kaddish Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Kriyat Santara, that's Dovashi B'Kedusha. Not sure exactly how to define it. And Duchenin needs Asar, it's a different din. And benching Mezumah needs Asar. Some Rishonim say that benching of B'Shem Baruch Hu Kainu is a Dovashi B'Kedusha. There is a Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says that when you recite the Dovashi B'Kedusha, you have to stand up. So let's say when the Chazan says Baruch Hu. So everybody, let's say the Chazan says Kaddish. So the by Ashkenazim, the Magen Avraham quotes such a Yerushalmi. By Ashkenazim, the meaning is, you stand up when the Chazan says Kaddish. Not only when you enter home and you hesh meira. When the Chazan says Kaddish, everybody stands. That's based on a Yerushalmi, says it based on a pasuk in Novi, in Sefer Shoftim. I forgot to be rude. David Ben Gero stabbed the king in his stomach. He was fat. So he came, he was a Novi. Came to the Goyish king and he said, "Dvar alekim li eilecha." I have a message from the Rebbe. So the Melech stood up out of respect for the Navi, and then he stabbed him in the stomach, and then he ran away. Then the Navi ran away. So you see from the pasuk, he said, "Dvar alekim li eilecha." Dovash b'kedusha. So he stood up. So the Yerushalmi learns out from that pasuk. Whenever you're saying a Dovash b'kedusha, you're supposed to stand. The Sfardim followed that reason. That reason says that there is no such Yerushalmi. He says it's a Torah Sefer. Well, then Abraham quotes the Yerushalmi. But the Arizal thinks that it's not so. So by the Svarim, they don't stand up by every Kaddish. Only a Kaddish of Tops and Mahuma. Let's say if they were standing anyway. Let's say by Ashkenazim. When they learn Kriyas on Torah and Shabbos, then they say Chatzi Kaddish in between the last Aliyah and the Maftir. So usually in the Shuls, everybody stands up and the Chazan says Kaddish. By the Svarim, they don't stand up. Only, let's say, you say Kaddish after Halal. So everybody was standing when they said Halal. So you continued to stand when they say the Kaddish after Halal. But if you were sitting during Chazaras HaShatz, you were sitting. Or let's say you were sitting during Kriyas HaTorah, if the people are sitting, then by the Shadim, they don't stand up. That's a Shadim. You have to stand up. But the Magen Avraham quotes like that, that you have to stand for Dovash B'Kedusha. There is a Machlokes in Achrayim. The Tshuvas, it's called Tshuvas Gaon Basroi. Gaon Basroi is the days of the Bach and the Taz and the Maharshal. They have a collection of Tshuvas from that period of history. So they have there a big machlokes. When you say the Yud Gimel Midas in Slichas on a Tainus, on Shivas of the Tammuz, do you treat during Sarasavay Tshuva, do you treat the Yud Gimel Midas like Dovash B'Kedusha or not? So they give 3 nafkaminas. 1 nafkamin where they need amida, you have to stand up and you recite the other nafkaminas. So Dovash B'Kedusha, you need amida. The nafkamina is the need atifa. You have to put the talus over your head, or is it not necessary? So we assume Dovash B'Kedusha requires atifa. And the third nafkamina is, well, they need a minyan. Do you need a minyan? Do you need amida? Do you need atifa? If it's a, you can say slichas b'yichidus, you can say Ramban. But if reciting of Yud Gimel Minus is a davar shebikdusha, then you can't recite it without a minyan. Let's say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time. People are traveling all the time. They're going home. They're coming to the yeshiva, whatever. So a lot of times they miss some of the slichas. There it's Yisrael. So if if you want to say slichas on the plane and you don't have a minyan, can you say the Yud Gimel Minus? So in the kids from Shulchan Aruch he quotes this. So the three nafka minus that say in the Tshuva's Gaina Basrat in the days of the Marsha and the Bach and so on, three nafka minus are that a davar shebikdusha need on Sora, you need Amida, and you need Atifa. So the two minhagim when you bench from Zoom and you say Baruch HaLakeinu Shalchan Mishaloi, so by the Yekis they stand up. They stand like that. In Lithuania, they didn't move at all. And other people shake a little bit like this. Baruch HaLakeinu, stand up a little bit. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, that's the Shaila. If you treat it like when you bench Mizum and Basara, there's a Mishnah, there's a Rambam, the Rambam writes, he quotes the Din of Hilchas Brichas HaMosen. So the Rambam says that three women can bench Mizumin, but if you have 10 women, they cannot bench Mizumin Bishem. So the question is, why not? Where did the Rambam get that from? Why not? So I think the Kesem Mishnah says, because it's a Dovish of Yigdusha, so you need Asara. And the Mishnah says, you have to have 10 men. 10 women is no good, you have to have 10 men. So the Kesem Mishnah soon says it's a Dovish of Yigdusha. Many others say, no, it's not a Dovish of Yigdusha. The Gemara says, the reason why you can only say Baruch HaLakeinu Asara is La Baruch Haret, it's not the Acheret, to be Maske, Shem Shemayim, Mepochas Me'asara. The Gemara didn't say that. Then Shem Asara is a Dovish of Yigdusha. So that explains the Tumen Hogan, whether you Davke do stand or you don't stand. So the Rambam quotes the din from the Mishnah Megillah when you say Dovish Abigdusha you need Asura. Kriya Sator is considered a Dovish Abigdusha. The question is why? Why is Kriya Sator? What's the definition of Dovish Abigdusha? So we usually assume something like the following, approximately. Whenever you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever one praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in the form of a pasuk, nor in the form of a bracha. If it's a pasuk or a bracha, it's going to fall down again. It's going to hit something. Okay. If you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, neither in the form of a bracha, nor in the form of a pasuk, it could be that that's defined as a davar shebikdusha. As Rav Soloveitchik said, we have a common minhag that when you say the piyutim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you open up the Yom Kodesh and everybody stands. And you say, whatever. Everybody, why do you stand? So people are simply standing because the Aron Kodesh is open. Is there such a din? We have to stand. The din is when they carry the Sefer Torah in the room where you are, you have to stand. If the Chazan is standing, holding the Sefer Torah, you're not have to stand. If the Sefer Torah are standing, they're not moving. Strictly speaking, you don't have to stand. Number two, the Sefer Torah are in a Rishus B'if in the Atzmai. Let's say the Aron Kodesh is dalal al dalal tvachim and is 10 tvachim tall. Most of the time, the Aron Kodesh will be dalal al dalal. A lot of times, the Chevek Kaddisha has a tiny little Aron Kodesh, it's less than dalal al dalal tvachim. Not dalal al dalal ram, it's dalal al dalal tvachim, very small. So the Aron Kodesh usually is dalal al dalal tvachim, the floor here, this is here. Dalal al dalal tvachim. The Gemara is almost dalal, probably is dalal al dalal tvachim. So if you have a room, if you have an Aron Kodesh, that's dalal dalal, the golden roof, that's a cheder b'fnei atzmai. So there are two reasons why you don't have to stand when you open the Aron Kodesh. Number one, it's a b'toris and a b'shus b'fnei atzmai. Number two, it's standing, it's not moving. And nonetheless, the meaning is that everybody stands. So why is that? So Rachel suggested maybe we're not really standing because of the Sefer Torah. Maybe we're standing because Hanim Zmiris is the Dovah Shebikdusha. Maybe the Piyutim are Dovah Shebikdusha. We're praising our Kodesh Baruch Hu neither in the form of a Pasuk nor in the form of a Bracha. Maybe that's why you're standing. There is a Din of Shulchan Aruch in Yeridayah, third Chiluk Yeridayah, in Hilchas Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah. Out of respect for the Torah, you're not allowed to turn your back. So the Taz raises a question. The rabbi gets up and he holds a drasha. He has his back to the Aron Kodesh. He's facing the tzibur, his back is to the Aron Kodesh. He says, it's not a problem. The Aron Kodesh is a rishus b'fnei atzmai. And the Sefer Torah is standing still, it's not moving. So there are two good reasons why you don't have to stand. So getting back again, so the Mishnah says, so we don't exactly understand why. It says that Kriya Sator is a davar shebikdusha. Need us, so why should it be a davar shebikdusha? Because you say Baruch Hu. That's why, because you say Baruch Hu. could be. But he's saying that not only the Baruchos of Dovah should be Kedusha, maybe the Kedusha Torah itself. It's unclear in the Mishnah exactly why they need a minion. Dovah should be Kedusha. Then the Yerushalmi says on that Mishnah Megillah, if it's Chila Basara, then you can, let's say this started Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday, month, and some people have to run to work. They have to work for a living. They're going to come late to work, they're going to fire him. So he leaves in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So by the time it comes the Levi or the third Aliyah, you only have 9 people in the Mishnah. So what do? You stop. So the Yerushalmi says, if it's Chila Basara, if he started with a minyan, let's say Chazara Sashatz. You have to have a minyan. So the chazan starts, there are 10 people there. And then, in the middle of Chazara Sashat, somebody has to go to work. Parnassus is Parnassus, so he leaves. So then, does the chazan stop in the middle of Chazara Sashat? And Shami says, no. If you started with Asara, then you can finish that unit. So what is that unit? So the Chazara Sashat, you can finish, and you can say Kaddish afterwards. Our practice is that we usually say two Kaddishim after. We say Chatzi Kaddish. What do we say? What do we do after Shatzi?
After Tachnun.
After Tachnun. And then Kaddish Tiskabel. After Avolzit. So the question is, the minyan, we only have 9 people. We started off with 10. If the 10th person ran out before Chazara Sashatz, you don't do Chazara Sashatz. But if the 10th person ran out after Kedusha, he stayed till Kedusha, then he ran out and he has to go to work. So the Chazan finishes Chazara Sashatz, and the Kaddish belongs to the Chazara Sashatz. So both Kaddishim, you can say both Kaddishim. So that's a question. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Kivega says you can say both Kaddishim. Rabbi Kivega and Shulchan Aruch says you can say both Kaddishim, the Chatzi Kaddish after Tachnun, and the Kaddish Olam after Avodat Zion. And others are not happy. They say under such circumstances you don't have a minyan. They should only say the one Kaddish Olam after Avodat Zion. Kaddish Tiskab. You shouldn't say two. That's a question. What's with Kriyas HaTorah? So they started, let's say, Shabbos morning. They started Kriyas HaTorah Basar. And then someone takes sick and he leaves. He leaves the room. You only have 9. So the Rishonim said you can complete the Kriyas HaTorah even though you no longer have a minyan. Let's say 7 people left and you only have 3. So you finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah. So Rishonim says no. Shulchan Aruch quotes Rishonim, you have to have a ripe team. You have to have a curry with another 5 people. You have to have 6 people. So if you start off with 10 and then in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, some of them disappear. So you have, if you have a rive of the minyan, if you have 6 out of the 10 people, you can finish. So here the Gemara has a special din Hashmana Psukim Shabbat Torah. Yochid Karyos. What does it mean Yochid Karyos? So the Rama has a funny pshat. And Hilas Tfili has all the din about Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rama said Yochid Karyos, we don't need a minyan. Other Rishonim have different pshatim. The Rambam's Pshat. The other Rishonim, we don't understand how it makes sense. The Gemara had a machlokes. Who wrote the Shemana Psukim Shabbat Torah? Was it written by Moshe Rabbeinu or was it written by Yeshua ben Nun? First it says, say for Yeshua. Yeshua wrote something. So it's unclear. He writes Yeshua cast of Sifro. That's what it's referring to. Yeshua ben Nun wrote the last chapter in the Chumash. So the Gemara says, if you all like the Tanim that the last chapter in the Chumash was written by Yeshua ben Nun, then we understand why it has a different din Yochid Karyos. Why do you understand? So the Kevin Orr writes, I don't understand. Why do you understand? Why does it make sense? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, if you all like the Rambam says, pshat is, Yochid Karyos means you don't treat it like a Dovah Shebi Kedusha, you don't need a minyan. So the Rabbi asks on the side of the Rambam, what happened? Where did the minyan disappear to? This is the last chapter in Rezais HaBrocha. So what, they're going to start Kriyas HaTorah from the last pasuk? No, they're going to start with Rezais HaBrocha. So you have to start with the minyan. So the minyan disappeared. So if you have 6 people, you can finish any parsha. Not only Shemana Pesukim Shabbat Torah. Any Kriyas HaTorah, if you had 10 people at the beginning, and they started, then you can finish. Unless you only have 5 people, you don't have 6 left. So that's what the Rambam means. That's what the Rambam means. Even on the rest of all year long Kriyas HaTorah, if you started with a minyan, and then you no longer have the minyan, you need Rav HaMinyan. to be allowed to continue. That's all in Yerushalmi. Mezayis HaBracha, even if you don't have six people left, you can still continue. Why? Because Mezayis HaBracha, the end of Mezayis HaBracha, the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not a Dabash of Yerushalmi. According to the Rambam Pshat, we can understand it. A little bit. The Torah's Moshe is a higher level than other Nevi'im. Yeshua ben Nun is one of the other Nevi'im. The Gemara comments on the last, the Gemara in the first half of Megillah comments on a Pasuk. The Mashal is not sure which Pasuk they're quoting. Are they quoting the last Pasuk in Masei or the last Pasuk in Mechukosai? Two Pesukim are practically identical with slight differences between them. Two Pesukim say the same thing. Eila mitzvim sachukim ha-mishpatim. The mitzvahs, only those that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. No Navi before or after Moshe Rabbeinu gave mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Mila was given to Avraham Avinu. The mitzvah of Gidonosha was given to Yaakov Avinu. That's how the Rambam quotes the Bereishis Rabbah. But the Rambam writes, we spoke about this, the Rambam writes in the Pirush of Mishnayos and the Chula, Perek Gidonosha, that the fact that today we still continue to observe the mitzvah of Mila is not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. The other Nevi'im, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, were only given Hayra Ashur. When Avraham Avinu was told about the mitzvah Mila, it was only Hayra Ashur. What it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, the end of Lech Lecha, it says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah Mila, the Darasechem, that the Darasechem wasn't told to Avraham Avinu. The Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu to put in the Darasechem, but according to the Rambam, that was only told to Moshe Rabbeinu. The other Nevi'im are never given Adin L'Daras. The term mitzvah is a technical term that means something that is binding the Daras. That's the Rashi in the opening Pasuk in Parshas Tzav. Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, from the Sifra, Ein Loshin Tzav, Loshin Ziris, Miyad L'Daras. Only called the mitzvah, technical term. Only called the mitzvah if it's a binding throughout all the future generations. So the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah Mila, we still continue to observe the mitzvah Giron Osher, is not because it was given to Avraham Avinu, because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. So that's the Gemara, the first daf in Megillah. The Gemara quotes, Marsha is not sure which pasuk they're referring to, either the concluding pasuk in Chumash VaYikra or the concluding pasuk in Chumash VaNivra. They both say practically the same. Eila hamitzvahs, these and only these, the mitzvahs that are binding the doors were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nevi'im before and after Moshe Rabbeinu has Adon HaNevi'im. He's the only, the Rambam has 13 Yikari Amunah. So that Ika means the only one who was given mitzvahs that are binding the doors is Moshe Rabbeinu. The other Nevi'im before and after are lower level, they're only given Hayra Ashur. So according to the way the Rambam writes, that the Pshat in Yochid Kari Yasim, you don't need a minyan, even though you don't have six people left. They started the parshas with the sabracha with a minyan, and then they lain till shmeina psukim. And now you turn around, you only have five people left, you know, less. You don't have ten. You don't have ten. You don't even have six. You don't even have right minyan. That's what the rabbi says. What happened to the minyan? So some of the achrayim say the rabbi isn't asking a question. Where did the minyan disappear? He's asking halacha. What do you mean? The Rambam quoted the din from Yerushalmi. If you start off with the minyan, you can finish. So the rabbi is asking, not in Mitzias, where's the minyan? He's asking, Al Pidin, the minyan is still there if you have a ripe tzibur. If you don't have a ripe tzibur, so he holds that you can't lay. How can you lay with only five people? So that's what the Rambam learned in Gemara. No. If whatever was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Torah. So that's Davish Abigdusha. We don't know exactly why. Torah is Davish Abigdusha. But in Nevuah, if it was written by Yeshua ben Nun, it's only a din of Nevuah, it's not a din of Davish Abigdusha. So if the minyan disappeared, you can give the last aliyah even without five people, even without a minyan. So that's what the Gemara said. It's Nicha if Yochid Kori Yasim, you don't need a minyan. It's Nicha if you say it was written by Yeshua ben Nun. But if you hold like the Tana Reb Shimon, that everything was written by Shimon, how can it be? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah. So if you say it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, so why isn't it a Davish Abigdusha like the rest of the Torah? The Gemara says no. I feel the Tama Reb Shimon, even if you hold like Reb Shimon, that's what we do assume. All Torah, including the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu, was written by Moshe. Well, the Yishtani is still, since it's different, so it has a different din. What do you mean, well, the Yishtani, what is it different? So the Gemara said before, when Rabbi Shimon was explaining, so he said, Kol HaTorah Kula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, HaMoshe, Kaisei V'Omer. or the other gear says Moshe Aimer Vikosev, two gears says Moshe Aimer Vikosev, Moshe Kosev Yana. The Kami Elach, the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu, the description of Moshe Rabbeinu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aimer, Moshe Kosev Bidema, Moshe Rabbeinu is crying. Why is he crying? He could have done live forever. Rav Soloveitchik said, what is he crying about? Because he's writing about it, everybody else is going to die. What are you crying about? So he suggested, the Rambam writes, when the Rambam quotes this Gemara, the Rambam assumes even the Parsha Achrayna, the last chapter in Chumash that includes the Shemana Pesukim Vayom Shal Moshe, was also written by Moshe Rabbeinu. But there is a special din, Yochid Kori Yosin, why? Since the simple reading, the simple pshat in the pasuk sounds like it was not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, sounds like it was written after he died, then it wasn't written by him. So therefore, since that mistaken impression that's conveyed on Mashmarach Mises Moshe, so it doesn't have a din on Davish Bikusha. Because it has the mistaken impression, that's why, Hol Vishtani, that's how it means, Hol Vishtani. Since the superficial reading sounds like it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is Hol Vishtani? Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe Hol Mashma'on doesn't mean superficial understanding. Maybe it means the Mashma'ut, the significance of it wasn't true until after he died. When he was writing it, it wasn't true yet. Says Vayom Moshe Moshe Ben Hashem, and he's still alive. So it didn't become true till after he died. So it comes out that when he wrote it, it wasn't true. So the Sefer Torah was Adayin Lo Nizkadesh. So he suggested maybe that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was crying. Not crying that he's hearing about his death. We're all going to die. Sat Kol Adam Lamas, we're all going to die. What is there to cry about? So maybe he's crying because he realizes that he wasn't able to be Mekadesh the entire Chumash. It wasn't Niskanish, the left that became true. Because man is not yet true, it couldn't be Niskanish. So he suggests maybe that's why he was crying. And maybe that's why he doesn't have the din of the Dovisha Biglusha. Well, the Ishtani, Ishtani, it was Nichta Vagde Moshe Rabbeinu, but it wasn't Niskanish Agde Moshe Rabbeinu, because it wasn't true yet.
Didn't we say before that God said that Pshat is that perhaps that because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write the entire Torah?
Right. No, first the Gemara said, if you all like the first Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, then you can understand why there's a different din, Yochid Kori Yosin. If it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's only written by Yeshua Ben Nun, so it's only in Nevuah, it's not Torah. It's a lower level. But if you all like Rabbi Shimon, and we have adopted the position of Rabbi Shimon, we assume that it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, so why should it have a different din? Whatever was written by Moshe Rabbeinu should have a din of Dovish of Yigdusha. So the Gemara says, no, even if you all feel the time of Rabbi Shimon, all the Ishtani, Ishtani. Sof Kol Sof, it is different from the others. Why was it different? Because it was crying. So therefore it has a different din. It's not a Dovish of Yigdusha. And the Rambam sounds like he said, all the Mashmah Nachamisus Moshe. Since the superficial reading conveys the mistaken impression that it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was written, if you assume that it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you care about the superficial mistaken impression? So he suggested, when the Rambam uses the word Hola Mashma, not that it's Mashma L'Chayre, mistaken, you can make a mistake and think that it was written by someone else. No, maybe the Mashma'ut, the significance and the meaningfulness, because it wasn't true until after he died. So when he wrote it, he said the Torah was not Niskadosh yet. So maybe that's why it doesn't have a din of Dovish HaBikdusha. Just like Shai Nevi'im don't have a din of Dovish HaBikdusha, only said the Torah, only what Moshe Rabbeinu said is Noig L'Doris. So even Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this, but it wasn't Niskadosh Al Yada because he was still alive. It wasn't true yet. It only became true later. So maybe that's why it's not treated like a Dovish HaBikdusha. So that's the Rambam's plot. Yochid Kori Yosin, you don't need a minyan, means that it's not a Dovish HaBikdusha. So at least you can have a mahalach how to read the Gemara. How did the other Rishonim learn Pshat? So Rashi learns in Bava Basra, Rashi learns Yochid Kori Yosin, usually in Kriyas HaTorah, we have printed in the Chumash, Sheni Shlishi Revi. What if you want to make something so you can give? Every 3-4 psuk, you can make another aliyah. The Gemara says you can't stop, you can't begin with them. Psukim to psucha mestuma. but you can make a lot of hosafos there. So these many pesukim of a Torah, you have to lay all the 8 pesukim together. You can't divide it into 4 and 4. You can't give 12 each. Why in the world not? What does that have to do with whether Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it or something else? The Kamenari says he doesn't understand. Why not? Unless you say pshatos like this, but Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi said you can't break it up into 2 aliyahs. You can't make a sofer to give 4 psukim and 4 psukim. Unless perhaps yochid karyos, you have to read it separately from the previous. You have to read it separate because the previous psukim is Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is Nevuah, this is Yeshua ben Nun. But we do it all the time on Simchas Torah. The last aliyah starts from way before. We do lay it together. So we don't follow that pshat. That's what Kevin ever suggested pshat. Yochid karyos, and maybe what it means, not so much, you can't break it up to 2 aliyah. That's what Rashi said. You can't break it up to 2. What it really means, yochid karyos, and you have to lay it separate from what came before, because what came before is Torah, and this is only Nevuah. But we do that all the time. That's the way we lay karyos at Torah. We don't follow that. So Tesis, so then there's another pshat. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai. Yochid karyos, and the word yochid sometimes means yochid and miyuchid. Yochid sometimes means unique. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How do you translate Hashem Echad? So Rashi, they're different pshat. Rashi and Chumash says Shema Yisrael Hashem Shehu Elokeinu. Right now, only the Jewish people believe in the invisible God in heaven above. They will come, the Mos Hamashiach, that will be Hashem Echad. That all the nations of the world will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that we pass on the halacha that on Rosh Hashanah, when you recite Malchias, Achanis and Shofars, you have to say 10 psukim for Malchias, 10 psukim for Achanis, and 10 psukim for Shofars. What's the makeup, what's the constitution of the 10 psukim? Then we say 3 psukim from Chumash, and 3 psukim from Ksuvim, and 3 psukim from Neviim, and then you say the last pasuk, the 10th pasuk, is from Chumash. So the Gemara says there ain't no 4 psukim in Chumash where it says that Hashem is Malach. There are only 3 psukim. Bekoshi, there are 3 psukim that say. Zechrein is their psukim and Shofar is their psukim, but for Malchias there aren't. So the Gemara says Shema Yisrael Shema Kein Hashem Echad counts as Malchias. Why? That's the way Rashi learned Pshat. Malchias means the day will come. Lachol kolam kula bechvaydach v'nasam kalaretz bikaracha. The day will come that all of mankind will recognize the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way Rashi learns, that's what it means. Shema Hashem hu alakein ana. The day will come, Hashem achar, Hashem will be accepted by all the nations of the world. So apparently the Gemara that assumes that you can count on that person, Shema Yisrael, one of the psukim for Malchus, is understanding like Rashi. The Rambam says Hashem achar means that we believe in monotheism, only believe in one God. Why should that be? Why should that be Malchus? Malchus. So the Rambam also has to agree with Rashi. So Rav Soloveitchik was brought up. He was born and brought up in the Lubavitcher village. His father was the rabbi in Chaslavich. Chaslavich was a Lubavitcher village, and they had a tradition that they always appointed rabbanim who learned in Valozhin, the Snagda. The Lubavitcher village always had a tradition. Why? So in this new book that someone just gave me a copy, someone wrote a whole book about Rabbi Aaron Wolkin. He was a rabbi in Pinsk. He died in the middle of the war before they had a chance to murder him. And the Nazis had a chance to kill everybody they got their hands on. So he was a prominent Talmid Chacham. So they have all kinds of stories there in the book. It just came out a couple of months ago. So they have part of the story of why in Chaslavich, this Lubavitcher village, they always had a rabbi who was a misnagid, because he has part of the story. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over the story every so often. Because when Napoleon was fighting his battles, so there was a big machlokes among the Hasidish and Tzaddikim whether they should pray that he should win or lose. Because Napoleon wanted to give emancipation to the Jews. They're going to give freedom. They won't mistreat the Jews anymore. Everybody's going to be free. Freedom for everybody. So the Chassidish Rebbe said we should die and that Napoleon should win the war. We should have freedom. Now the Lubavitcher Rebbe realized that that's the worst thing for the Jews. And the Jews will have equal rights, then they'll assimilate, then they'll intermarry. The rate of intermarriage in America is unbelievably high. So it's over 50% of the Jews intermarry. Because there's a freedom. Calls man that the Jews are treated poorly, so then they know that the goyim are not going to marry the Jews, and the Jews are careful. We support each other. We marry each other. We're not going to marry out. So the Bab Sherebbe was opposed. In fact, they all made up one year, whoever's going to blow shofar earlier, Rosh Hashanah, the shofar blowing shofar is to enhance the tefillah. Whoever will blow shofar Rosh Hashanah that year, his prayers will be answered. So there's one of the Hasidic Rebbe's told his Hasidim that year, they're not going to say piyutim, you're not going to give any drushes, they're going to daven quickly, and they're going to blow shofar as early as possible, because he has to pray that Napoleon's going to win the war. So when they start davening, usually the Hasidim start davening late, so he said they have to start early. That year it's important, because they all made up, whoever's going to blow shofar first, his prayers are going to be answered. So he rushed through the davening, then he got, after the haftar, he said he blew shofar. He felt in his heart that he lost already. He felt that the Lubavitcher Rebbe must have blown shofar already before he felt that his prayers are not going to be answered, that Napoleon is going to lose. So a couple of months later, he bumped into the Alter Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe. He said, I understand you must have blown shofar before. How did you blow shofar so fast? We rushed through everything. We started at the crack of dawn and we left out all the piyutim and everything. Lubavitcher Rebbe said he felt it was such an important issue, he told him they're going to blow shofar before Shabbos. Who says you have to wait till after? It's such an important issue. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe had Hasidim who lived in France, and they had them spying on the Russian, on the French army. They should find out what the French are planning to do. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave all the information to the Russian army that they should defeat the French army. And then Napoleon lost the war. So the Napoleon found out, they found out about this, that Schneerson was responsible for passing on all the information to the Russian army. So they decided they're going to kill him. He's causing them to lose the war. So they were chasing after Schneerson, and they trapped him. He was in the city Haslavich, which was a Lubavitcher city. So they surrounded, the French army surrounded the whole city. They were going to go from door to door. They're going to go to search every single home to find their Rebbe to kill him. So the Hasidim, it was a Hasidic city, the Hasidim asked the rabbi happened to be a misnaget from Valozhin Yeshiva. I forgot his name, but it was also a prominent name. So they asked him, would he hide out the Rebbe in his home? So he says he disagrees with the Rebbe on Hashkofer. He thinks that the Rebbe's mahalach is not correct, but he would never master a Jew to the goyim. So he said he'll hide the Rebbe in his basement and he'll tell the French soldiers a lie. He'll tell them when they knock on the door, tell them that he's not here. So they went from door to door and they came to the rabbi's home and they said they're looking for Schneerson. Do you know where he is? So he put on an act. He says, Schneerson, he's the biggest danger to the Jewish religion. Give me the man, I'll choke him to death with my own hands. Put on a whole story. He was hiding in his basement. So the soldiers said, okay, when we find him, we'll be mechabed you. They didn't bother to go search in the basement. So they went to the rest of the city, and they couldn't find him because he was by the rabbi in the basement. So they figured somehow he slept out. So later, when he finally got out, so the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, made a comment. Sometimes it's a mazel that you have a misnaget as the rabbi of the city, in the Hasidic city. So from that time on, they always insisted all the rabbanim have to be from Valozhin. So Valozhin Soloveitchik was from Valozhin. So they made him, he was a rabbi in Chaslavich for a while. So Rab Soloveitchik was familiar with a lot of, he himself davened a lot of his davening. He used to daven Nusach HaGro, but he used to daven also sometimes part of the davening, he would daven Nusach Chabad. And he was familiar with a lot of the Chabad Minhagim. So he said, one of the Chabad Minhagim is that at the end of the Seder, they don't say Echad B'Yodea. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with Echad B'Yodea? Because you say, Shnai M'Yodea, Shlosh M'Yodea, Shnai Vuchas Habit, Shlosh Ovis, Habu Ovis, Chamishu Chum Shitaira. So he said, Echad B'Yodea means that there's one God, 1, 2, 3, 4, till 13. He says, the Lubavitcher hold that that's not Pshat. Hashem Alken Hashem Echad. It's understood there's only one God, but that's not what it means. It means something more than that. It means Hashem Echad. Hashem is unique. Unique means, so there's only one God. If there would be two gods, it wouldn't be unique. But that's not the main pshat. Main pshat is Hashem Echad, that God is unique. So that's why they don't want to say the Halacha Be'adeya, because that piyut is treating that pasuk Hashem Echad as if all it means is that there's one God as opposed to the Trinity, as opposed to the other religions, that they believe more than one God. It means something more than it means that God is unique. Rabbi Yosef Engel has this also. It's a Beferish Gemara in Chagiga. And Dav Gimel Amor Al. The Gemara says, "Atem asisuni chativa achas, ani ese eschem chativa achas." You are treating me as a unique thing in the world. You recite Shema Yisrael Shem Echad. God is unique. Ani ese eschem chativa. The Jewish people is unique. Ato echad v'shem chnikam chisog echad baritz is a pasuk. The Jewish people is unique. So the Gemara understands like that Hashem Echad means unique. Chativ Achaz Boilam means something unique. The Gemara has also as a Keves Echad Tasev Abayka. Keves Echad means unique. So that's what the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Simchas Torah writes, that the last Aliyah Chazon Torah gets the Shemad Pesukim Shabbat Torah. Yochid Koriyos means Yochid and Miyuchid. You should give the Aliyah to the biggest tamachot, usually give the aliyah to the rabbi. Why? So the simple pshat is that it says Moshe Rabbeinu died and Yeshua ben Nun took over. So in our generation, the local rabbi is Bamakam Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have Yeshua ben Nun. We're going to follow the local rabbi. Some people have the attitude. Moshe Rabbeinu died, so nobody can be the rabbi. So the Chumash says, no. Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yeshua ben Nun. The Baruch Shalom said Yeshua ben Nun. He takes over. Some people today have the Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away. There's no one to ask any shaylos to do. So therefore they want to do whatever they don't please. What are you talking about? There are qualified people who studied by Rabbi Soloveitchik. Other qualified people didn't study by Rabbi. There are other people that take over. So that's why we give the aliyah to the rabbi. And just like it says Yeshua ben Nun took over, so the local rabbi takes over now. So if that's the pshat, yochid kori osam, you give the aliyah to the rabbi, what does it have to do whether the last section of the Chumash was written by Moshe Rabbeinu or Yeshua ben Nun? Why not Kamina? And the Rashi also, we don't understand. You shouldn't break it up to two aliyahs, four psukim. You have to give over. What does it have to do? Whether who wrote it? Maybe the other pshat, yochid kori osam, some of the Ravid has a different pshat that Tosfos has. Tosfos is not happy with the pshat. Our practice is we have a balkore, and the Oyla Latar just says the brachas, and the balkore says the parsha. In the days of the Tanaim, that was not the practice. Whoever got the aliyah would say the psukim, would read the psukim. But over the years, some of the people knew the psukim in the trap. Other people, other times, they would kill the whole Kriya Satara. Every other word, they're going to mispronounce. They're going to say the wrong truck. So you're going to have those people who know how to lane. So they'll lane their own aliyah. They'll give an aliyah to someone that doesn't know how to lane. Then they'll have a balkari lane for him. So you're going to be embarrassing people. So Kadesh Allah Levayesh is Mishayin Yadir, not to humiliate those who don't know how to lane. So we make a loyplug. We have a practice. We don't let anybody lane their own aliyah. We have a balkari lane to everybody. Where did that idea come from? Kadesh Lo Levayesh, this Mishayin Yodeya. So that's based on a Mishnah in Bikurim. It says when the farmers bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, they had to recite Arami Yavirov. Not everybody remembers Arami Yavirov by heart, so they had a chart. But the chart, you're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Shalom. They didn't have a whole Chumash Dvarim. They used to have the chart was in Russian tables. It said Aleph, 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 Vav, Mem. Arami Yavirov, Yerim, and Tzraim. So that I can figure out also. And the rest, I don't remember. I don't remember everything there. So you had to be able to figure out the Russian tables. So most of the farmers could not figure out. Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. What's up? Enam and Kelar, Rechapayim. Aleph, 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 Aleph. You have to know how to figure out all the Russian tables there. So they had the farmers who knew how to figure it out. So they said, Arami Abirabi. They figured it out. The farmers who didn't know how to say, so they had someone say for them, and they were mighty them. Pay attention. Either they were mighty them with Shamei Kohena, or they said, say after me. Say, Arami Abirabi. Say, Arami Abirabi. Yerman Sarmi, Yerman Sarmi. So then the Mishnah says, Nimnu Melohavi. People travel all the way from Kiryat Shmona to come to Yerushalayim. It takes hours and hours. It takes a whole day to come to Yerushalayim. So he should come to Yerushalayim to be humiliated. He stands online. The first five guys figure out their Rashi tables. He can't figure it out. So what do I need? What do I need? The whole pain in the neck. So they stop bringing Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. They made a takana. Kadesh lo levayesh is pishen eden. Not to humiliate anybody. You don't let anybody say his own Harami Abedabu. You always have someone else say it for him. Neither is Yaitu v'chemei HaKoina. That's a question. Or he says word for word after. That's why many European rabbanim used to have the practice. Rabbi Soloveitchik had this practice. He will never let the chosin say Hariat Mekudesh Sli Anzor. The rabbi would say after me, Hare, Hat Mekudesh. What do you mean? This yeshiva guy, he knows what this Hare. No, because sometimes he won't be yeshiva guy. He won't know how to say under the chuppah. So you've got to humiliate him at under the chuppah. The rabbi has to say for him. So we don't allow anybody to say on their own. We always say for them, and you say after me, word for word. So that's where this practice came from. So that, historically, that practice developed in the days of the Gaon. That you have a Balkori who lanes, and the one who gets Aluch only says the bracha before and after, and he doesn't lane out loud. So how does it work? How does it work? What the Takanas HaTanaim was that the one who gets the Aluch is supposed to lane. So you can understand it one of two ways. Basically, the Balkori got all the seven aliyahs. And we say the bracha to be Moitzi, the Balkori. Because Balkori is the one who's laning. So he got all the seven aliyahs. There is a din in Tosefta. Let's say you're in a minyan. There's only one person who knows how to lane. Before the days of the God, the Tosefta was written in the days of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Abchir Rabashi wrote the Tosefta. So before they had the institution of Abba Kari, so whoever got an aliyah was laying the psukkah. So what if there's only one person, there's only one individual, the whole minion, who knows how to lane? So the Tosefta says he gets all the seven aliyahs. So how do you count seven aliyahs? So in the days of the Tanayim, the Kohen said the bracha shabbacha banu, and the one who got the last aliyah said asher nasanu. He didn't say brachas in between. He didn't have every oil al atara say a bracha before and after. The whole Kriya Satorba was one unit. It said a bracha before in the beginning, bracha at the end. So if you have the Balkari, if you have only one person who knows how to lane, so the Balkari gets all the seven aliyahs. So how do you know when the aliyah ends? When the next aliyah begins? Said the bracha shabbacha bani lanes the whole seven, then he says shenasanon. Why does it count for seven aliyahs? So the Tosefta says he sits down at the end of the aliyah, then he stands up again and he lanes the next part, then he sits down, then he stands up, then he sits down. Then in the days of Rabbi Shmuel moved to Meretz, from Eretz to Bodom. So the Gemara has a whole explanation why they changed the practice that every person who gets an aliyah says the bracha before him. So Tosefta says once in the days of Rabbi Shmuel they change it. Every oiler l'atera says a bracha right after. If we only have one Balkari who knows how to lane, he doesn't have to sit down at the end of the aliyah and stand up and sit down. He gets an aliyah. He says the bracha shabbacha bani. He says the aliyah says shemasalana. Then he says bracha shabbacha says shabbacha bani. He lanes shemasalana. No need to sit down and stand up. Sit down and stand up. He's going to say a bracha at the end of every aliyah, the beginning of every next aliyah. That says in Shulchan Aruch also. That din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Chabad writes the din. There's only one person who knows how to lane. By some of the tzvarim, they still go like that. The person who gets aliyah lanes his own aliyah. You know, they know the trap. He lanes his own aliyah. During the corona, there was a concern. If you're going to have the Balkari is going to lane and the oil of her is going to stand right next to him, one of them may be sick and he may transmit the sickness to the other one. So in a lot of shuls, they did away with giving seven aliyahs to seven different people. The Balkari got all the seven aliyahs, as it says in the Tosefta. The only one person knows how to lane gets all the seven aliyahs. There is a machlekes in the Gemara, whether the machter is out of the minya hakrui. On Shabbos, he gives seven aliyahs. On Yom Kippur, he gives six aliyahs. On Yom Tov, he gives five aliyahs. Chalamoy and Rosh Chodesh get four aliyahs. So the Shaila is Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Yom Tov, when you have a maftir, is the Maftid, the seventh of the seven Aliyahs, and the sixth one on Yom Kippur, and the fifth one on Yom Tov? Or do you say, no, Maftid is en oilo lemiyakwe. In addition to the seven Aliyahs, you have to have Maftid. In addition to the sixth Aliyahs on Yom Kippur, you give. So there's a question, how do we pass from the law? Because we do a contradiction. On the Tagus Tzibur, we only give three Aliyahs, and the third one is Maftir. We don't give Maftir a fourth Aliyah. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, the Maftir is separate. So what did we paskin? Isn't it a contradiction? So there's machlokes and taisus, what to make of this. But the accepted opinion is the Rabbeinu Tam against the Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Tam said, Nikaradin, we paskin Maftir is over the Minyakui. And on the Tanis Tzibur, we're not allowed to make any high suffix. So the thing is, he gives three Aliyahs and the third Aliyah, La Torah. He says the Maftir. But on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur and on Yom Tov, since Mi'ikavadin is mutter to make myself is, so why not satisfy the other opinion in the Gemara? Even though we don't pass them like that, we pass them the Maftir is other than Mi'ikavadin. If you want, you can count as the last one of the seven Aliyahs. But you're allowed to make myself, so we always make myself. So we give an extra Aliyah to satisfy the other sheet in the Gemara that was rejected. Yeah, but it only makes sense to make Hosafa. You want to spread the wealth. Instead of giving seven, you want to give eight people Aliyahs. But if the Balkar is getting all the Aliyahs, you give them eight Aliyahs. That's it. The Shul always makes Hosafa in order to make Mishaberos, in order to make money for the Shul. So when you have the Balkar during Corona time, Balkar is getting all the seven Aliyahs. So can you make him pay seven times as much? I don't know if it's right to make him pay anything. He has no choice. He has to get all the seven Aliyahs. It doesn't make sense to give seven Aliyahs and then to say Chatzi Kaddish, then to give him an eighth Aliyah, the same person getting eight Aliyah. It doesn't make sense. So then you should have the Mapta, the Shvi, the Balgar is getting all the seven Aliyahs, and he should say the Haftarah after the seventh Aliyah, and then you say the Chatzi Kaddish after he finishes the Bracha on the Brichas Haftarah. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Poskim have a machlokes, how to understand the compromise that we have today. A person gets an Aliyah, and he only says the Broch, and the Balkari lays. You're supposed to have the same person say the Broch and lay the Sedra. What is it based on? So you can view it in one of two ways. Either we're really giving all the Aliyahs to the Balkari. Then they say, but we machabit seven different people to be moitz in the Balkari with the Brochas. So really the Balkari got all the seven Aliyahs. Then you shouldn't make any hoysafas. The Balkari's getting all the seven Aliyahs. Then you really shouldn't have Maftir as a separate Aliyah. It should only be seven Aliyahs. And after the seventh time, and the people of Oila, people call up people, Yamad Plani means Yamai, to be kind enough to be Motzi the Balkari with the Bracha before and after. Yotzah Motzi, he says the Bracha after the Balkari, but the Balkari got all the seven Aliyahs. He's hugging all the seven Aliyahs, so it doesn't make sense. You should make Maftir a separate Aliyah. So then we're doing wrong. Then we shouldn't give Maftir as a separate Aliyah. We should only give seven Aliyahs. And after the Balkari finishes everything, after invading the Haftar, after saying the Bracha, after the Haftar, then you should say the Chatzi Kaddish. But the practice is not so. So it could be that it's based on the Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam, the other. The Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, he holds that the Mikra Din we paskin, the Makrim is not oil of the Minyak. Mikra Din. So that's why you have to have seven Aliyahs plus the Makrim. Yeah, but we really don't hold like that. We really hold like that Rabbeinu Tam. So we usually assume the reverse. The one who gets, the one the Gabbai calls up Yamat Ploine is getting the Aliyah. I believe it's not laying out loud. So the answer is the Balkari is Maitzi him at Shemei Kohen. Not that he's Maitzi the Balkari. Not that the Balkari is getting all the seven Aliyahs. And the one who gets the Aliyah is being Maitzi the Balkari with the Bracha. No. Balkari has been Maitzi the Oila La Torah with the Kriya. That's Shemei Kohen. That's Yotzah Maitzi. He's naming, so it's considered as if the one that got the Aliyah was Malam of the Torah to the Tzibur. That's what we usually assume. And Shulchan Aruch has a din. And the oval is also the Talmud Torah. In the middle of Shiva, you're not allowed to learn. So how come when the oval comes to Shul, when you have a minion, a base oval, how come he doesn't have to walk out by Kriya Santara? It's also the Talmud Torah. He shouldn't be allowed to listen to Kriya Santara. So it's like the Shulchan Aruch. The reason why a novel is not allowed to learn Torah is because Pekudei Hashem Shem Sam Chalev. Learning is very cheerful. And Seder Hayayim is not so exciting. The Parshas HaShavuah, you don't go into ecstasy over that. If you hear a Gemara with the Tosfos, with the Keren Ari, make a Levedik, that's been Sam Chalev. Just to hear Kriyas HaTorah, not so exciting. So if the Oval doesn't have to walk out Bishas Kriyas HaTorah, why does it say you're not allowed to give the Oval an Aliyah? Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to give the Oval an Aliyah. Rabbi Natam always got Shlishi every Shabbos because he was the biggest Talmid Chacham. So even when his sister passed away, the Bechabah quotes this from the Rishayim. When his sister passed away, so he took Shlishi that Shabbos, even though an Oval is not allowed to get an Aliyah, because since every Shabbos he got Shlishi, if he wouldn't get Shlishi, it would be considered Avelis Mefahes. The din is that on Yontav you don't observe Avelis at all, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to observe Avelis Mefahes. So the Rabbi Natam took Shlishi, but normally an Oval is not allowed, if it won't be so obvious, it'll be more conspicuous, then the Oval is not allowed to get an Aliyah. Why not? What's wrong in Seder Hayom? There's no reason. So apparently, the Tzadik Sof Sofer writes, I'm so late, he used to say this. Apparently, there are two din. There's one din of a loss of the Talmud Torah because of Sam Chalev, Kurdish Hashem, there's another din, you're not allowed to be Malam Torah L'Acheira. So even though Seder Hayom is Mutter, you're allowed to stay when they're laying Kriyas HaTorah, but you're not allowed to, the one who gets Naliyah, even though he's not laying, the Balkar is laying, it's considered based on Shemer Kain as if the Oyla LaTorah is Malam Torah L'Acheira. It's considered as if he's the one who's Malamet. And Malamet Torah L'Acherim, that's a different form of Simcha. You're not allowed to be Malamet Torah L'Acherim, even if it's Seder Ayyur. On Tisha B'Av you get Aliyah, Kach Tikna Chacham. Okay. One that gets Aliyah is considered Malamet Torah. You're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av either, because that's what the Chacham of Amisakim. But if it's not Tisha B'Av, it's any other Avelah, so we say the Oval is not allowed to get an Aliyah. That's why Rav Soloveitchik explained, there's a minhag in Shulchan Aruch, Nehuchas Kriyas HaTorah, that when there's a chassan and shivus me'amishta, there's a chiyuv to give him an aliyah. Why is that chiyuv? What is that based on? Why is there a chiyuv? There's an old minhag that the chassan says Torah by the chassan's dish. Why does it say Torah by the chassan's dish? So he says, Rav Soloveitchik explained, because the lama Torah l'acherim is considered a form of simcha. So, and the chassan is mechuyev l'simcha, and there are two levels of simcha, the Rambam says. On Yontav, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yontav, person on the other is going to eat and drink and be merry, that's simchas hakeres. He makes his belly happy. So the higher form of simcha is to give tzedakah to the poor. The samech is for acherim, the samech is for umlomim, to cheer up the less fortunate people. That's why there's a mitzvah to make an appeal for tzedakah on Yontav. Not so much to make an appeal for hospitals and to make an appeal for yeshivas, that's important, but it's a chelik of simchas Yontav to be samech the poor, to pledge and to give money to tzedakah la'anim. So another form of the Sameach Acherim is to teach Torah L'Acherim. So that's why they auction off the Aliyahs on Yantav, because the one who gets, there are only so many Aliyahs, many people in Shul, they can't give everybody Aliyahs. Whoever gets an Aliyah is in fulfillment of an added form of Simchas Yantav, he's Malamed Torah L'Acherim. The rabbi is going to give a drasha, he's going to give a shiur, so it's not right, you shouldn't give him an Aliyah. He's going to be Malamed Torah L'Acherim anyway, but the Balabatim are not going to give a shiur, not going to give a drasha on Yantav. So they want to participate in Ding Balamater Lachem. So they want to buy an Aliyah. So that's why the Oval is not allowed to get an Aliyah, because the one who gets an Aliyah, Al-Pidin is considered as if not Shemeh Kohenah, he's Motzi the Balkari with the Brach. It's the other way. Shemeh Kohenah, the Balkari is Motzi them. Then that's why we assume you can make by surface. Many of the early Achmanim say that as Manam said that we have the Balkari institution, it's not right to make herself because Balkar is getting all the seven aliyahs. So why should you give him eight aliyahs? Why should you make herself? Well, we don't follow that it be. We don't hold that the Oyla Latar is Motzi the Balkari with the Brach, the Balkari got all the seven aliyahs. We say the Balkar is Motzi the Oyla Latar. He says Shomer Kohena is considered as if the Oyla Latar is laning, as if the Oyla Latar is Malamet Torah Lacher. And the Chosin has a chiv from Shimus Me'am Nishta. So that's why the Chosin is a chiv to get an aliyah. The other people don't have a chiyuv simcha. The Rama even writes, let's say it's Monday morning and there are two chassanim in shul, and neither is a kohen or a levi. So Rama says, since a chassan has a din like Yontav, and Yontav you're allowed to make a sofer, so they can give four aliyahs. They can give the two chassanim aliyahs on the same day. The Achrayim said, we don't paskin like that Rama, because for him it's a simcha. For him it's a Yontav. The other people have to run to work. not allowed to make Hoysofes and Shein Machamishi because Bitul Malachim. People have to go to work. So just because the Tuchasanim by Emetzi Yantav, but the other people in Shul Zani Yantav. You're not allowed to make Hoysofes. But the idea behind it is correct. That the Chosin, the Mara Ksub is beginning to consider the Chosin like a Yantav, has a Chiyav Simcha. Part of the Chiyav Simcha is the Sameach Acheret. So that's what Absolvation taught. That's why the minhag developed that the Chosin always has a Dvar Torah. By the Chosin stage, he's about to get married, so he has a chiyuv simcha v'sameach acheret. Not just that he should be happy, we have a chiyuv to be v'sameach acheret. He has a chiyuv, the one who's in a state of simcha should be v'sameach acheret. He should be v'sameach on this. So this institution, the Rosh in Megillah talks about this institution that we have in the days of the Goyim. So the Rosh says, but about the Balkari is laying on behalf of the Ola Torah. The Ola Torah says nothing, so he says he should lay along. The one who gets another, he should lay along with the Balkari. So that's, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that. So we don't understand exactly what is accomplished by that. The Ola Torah laying softly, he doesn't lay out loud. He's not being Malama Torah Lachem. What does he say? Shemeh Ka'ine, so it's considered as if he laid. So if it's considered as if he langed out loud, as if he was, so what does he have to say softly? The answer is no, but Shemeh Kaina means you're Yotze Kiddush, you're Yotze Havdolah, Shemeh Kaina. But over here, how can you call me the Malamit Torah Lachem if I didn't say a word? So what does it help if I say softly? So we're not sure exactly what the Rosh accomplished by that. But that's where they quote in Shulchan Aruch, that the Oyla LaTorah should lay along with the Balkari. He shouldn't lay out loud because he may not know the trouble. In the days of the Gemara, no one should lay in his own. But still, the Ola Torah should say along softly. We don't really understand that compromise of the Rosh. So Tosfos had one shot, Yochid Kori Yosam, whereas all year long you have the Ola Torah, the Balkari lays, the Ola Torah says along with him softly, like the Rosh says, Shmanip Supan Shabbat Torah, Yochid Kori Yosam, only the Ola Torah lay. Shouldn't have the Balkari laying with the Ola Torah saying soft. Shouldn't have two people laying along like we do the rest of Kriyas HaTorah. Yochid Kari Yosam, the one who gets the Aliyah, he should do the laying. So Taisa says, how can you interpret that shot in the Gemara? Who's speaking here? Yochid Kari Yosam. Was it Rav? Where was it again? In the days of Rav, they didn't have that practice. The Ola LaTorah said his own kriya. That was instituted in the days of the Goyim, that you have a Balkari institution, the Ola LaTorah lanes alone. It historically can't be correct. How can you four-step shot into the world? That's why Tosfos is not happy with that shot. That's what the Rav it calls step shot. Yochai Karyas, instead of having two people lane, the Balkari and the Ola LaTorah, you only have the Ola LaTorah lane. So that. Why should it be different? Because Shemana Pesukim Shabbat Torah is written by Yeshua Ben Nun. Very unclear. The Rambam's pshat is a Dov Shabbat Kedusha. That's not. We understand a little bit. But Yeshua Ben Nun wrote it's not Dov Shabbat Kedusha. What Moshe Rabbeinu said is Dov Shabbat Kedusha. But this pshat is problematic. And so you can. Maybe we'll continue tomorrow. We've got to figure out. Some don't understand. Why did Gemara say, why is the Yochika? Why should it be Penda? Who wrote this one? Maybe there's a little room to explain. Okay.